Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Starting today, you no longer have to wear a mask in state courthouses here in the Commonwealth. Meanwhile, members of the National Guard are wrapping up their deployments inside hospitals across the state. The changes come as most Boston businesses have been mask optional for the last few weeks. All good signs after this winter's Omicron surge. Still, data from the state's Department of Public Health shows slight increases in COVID cases. There's a new variant on the rise. So we have questions, and we think you probably do too. We thought it was time for Ask the Doctors. Are you feeling safer being out with people again? Maybe you're headed back to the office, you're going out to eat, wondering if you need the mask or the second booster, if a second booster is ever available. Are you concerned about the new variant, wondering what to expect? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston with your questions. Joining us now, Dr. Shira Derone, an attending physician and hospital epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center, and Dr. Luann Bruno-Murtha, Chief of Infectious Diseases at Cambridge Health Alliance, which has locations in Cambridge, Somerville, and Everett. Drs. Derone, Bruno-Murtha, welcome back to Radio Boston to both of you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Happy to be back.
Great to have you. Dr. Derone, I'll start with you. So, cases slightly rising, roughly 5,300 cases reported last week, which is about a 7.3% increase over the previous week, still drastically lower than the worst of what we were seeing during the Omicron surge. This is all happening at the same time that we're relaxing pandemic restrictions, we're not masking indoors as much. Is this uptick expected because of our changes in behavior around restrictions, or should we worry that this is about something new that's coming down the pike, Dr. Derone?
Yeah, well, if you look at the state dashboard, you know, and there was a couple of day period last week where there was like a backlog of cases, which sometimes can make things look scarier than they are. If you look at the last couple of weeks and the 7-day average, it is pretty flat. Of course, we want it to keep going down, but it's pretty flat. And of course, we now have the wastewater data coming in very frequently, quite a few times a week. We see that updated. And we see a very slight gradual increase now, both in the north and south sections of the Deer Island treatment plant. And this was all pretty much expected, given that this BA2 variant is becoming, it's closing in on becoming predominant here in Massachusetts. And we know that it is somewhat more transmissible, and we know that it has impacted some European countries. So this is what we expect. But so far, nothing is rising at an alarming rate.
So Dr. Bruno-Murtha, one of the things that we wondered, one of the things that happened during Omicron was this big shift to home-based testing, those rapid antigen tests, you know, federal government get those out to people's homes, people standing in lines trying to get them online, couldn't. I know you remember that. We don't have a mechanism in Massachusetts to report that to the state. So if huge swaths of people either are now testing at home, or maybe because it's warmer weather, et cetera, having mild symptoms and not testing at all, should we be worried that we don't really know what's going on with cases? I'm not trying to press some panic button when we shouldn't, but, you know, one does wonder.
Yes, we need to rely less on the testing data and the test positivity rate for this reason, because we don't have a systematic way to monitor home tests, and rely more on the wastewater data, both in Massachusetts and in the country. So CDC has wastewater data as well. And also there are other states in the country that are starting to see a slight uptick. But our community level of disease is still low. All of Massachusetts is in the green. So that is something that we should be somewhat reassured about, but certainly be vigilant.
And when you say in the green, you mean in that the threat assessment essentially maps about how high risk and how high the concentration of positive cases per 100,000 people is in a community.
Yes, it takes that into consideration. It also takes into consideration hospital bed capacity. So do we have the ability to care for patients if they need to be hospitalized? And it takes into account the number of patients hospitalized for COVID. So it's a combination of basically three important metrics that does not rely on test positivity rate.
Let me just put the number out, 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, or tweet us at Radio Boston. Dr. Derone, thinking about hospital cases. Okay, so you're at Tufts Medical Center. Throughout this pandemic at different times, we have checked in. What's going on in your hospital? How intense is it? Consistently, you know, worries about exhaustion and fatigue. Are folks getting a bit of a break at your hospital now?
Well, you know, from a COVID standpoint, yes. So at the height of the Omicron wave, we were consistently seeing over 70 patients with COVID in our hospital. You know, around that time, the state began to issue its report on what they called incidental COVID, which is really which patients are being treated for severe COVID and which aren't. And so about 50% of those 70 plus were getting treated or had been treated for severe COVID, and about 50% had not. Now we are down to the single digits. So that's wonderful. And I think only one of them really still has active COVID disease. But we are still really full and we're still really busy. And some of the things that we do during these surges, like canceling elective surgery, push the can down the road because, you know, what that's doing is deferring care to later when people are actually sicker. And so deferred care is one of the reasons why hospitals are so full. Behavioral health issues or mental health issues are another reason why hospitals are so full. And so it is really tough to get a break.
Same for Cambridge Health Alliance.
Yes, very similar experience. We don't have, we have very few COVID patients in the hospital, but we are trying to catch up on the care that unfortunately has been neglected over the past 2 years.
Let's go to the phones here. We've got Gordon on the line in Malden. Gordon, go ahead.
Hi, my question is really about essentially what is the level of certainty about, you know, getting rid of the mask rule, and you know, what is it? It doesn't seem possible that if something changed, and you know, at worst case scenario, people are dying on the street, that there would be a willingness to go back to having masks.
Gotcha, Gordon. Thank you, Dr. Bruno Murtha. I'll stay with you on that. So this, and we've heard this come up. Once you undo it, once you let the genie out of the bottle, right? Can you ever put it back in on masks, et cetera? And, you know, Gordon also wanted us to think about the worldwide versus the state view on pandemic restrictions. So let me let you reflect.
Yeah, great question, Gordon. I think we do have metrics that will give us some warning that things are moving in the wrong direction. And the same metrics that we're looking at for community level of disease, looking at the number of cases per 100,000, the number of available hospital beds, and the amount of our hospitals that are occupied by COVID patients, they give us a risk assessment score. And when that goes from green to yellow, there may need to be changes in what we do in mitigating. And if it goes to red, that's the worst case scenario where hospitals are being impacted. I do believe that there would be recommendations to reinvoke some of the mitigation strategies that we have used in the past, like masks.
And do you think people will do it?
I do. I have faith in our communities, and I think that people would do it if there was a reason to do it and the numbers were going in the wrong direction.
So, Dr. Derone, turning back to you, we want to ask some vaccine and booster questions. And I'm going to start at boosters. Right now, if you are vaccinated, you qualify for a booster. People who, as I understand it, people who are immunocompromised qualified first for an extra shot and then a booster. So basically, everybody's qualified for one booster. Now we got Pfizer seeking emergency use authorization for a second booster for people over age 65. Moderna seeking it for everybody. And even just that's a little bit confusing. So are you anticipating a second booster? And do you think we need one?
it's fascinating, isn't it, that their applications are so different. And I don't know that it's based on different data, but maybe based on a different strategy, business strategy. The answer to the question, do we need a fourth shot, really is going to be in many ways hinged upon the answer to a different question, which the FDA and CDC need to think about again. It's been posed before, which is, what is the goal of the U.S. COVID-19 vaccination program? This was asked at one of the recent VRBPAC meetings, the External Advisory Committee to the FDA, before Omicron really peaked here. And the question was, are we trying to prevent infection and transmission with these boosters, or are we trying to prevent severe disease? And the answer at the time from the FDA was, we're going to keep trying to prevent infection and transmission if we can. Since then, members of those committees, the CDC's External Advisory Committee and FDA's, and other experts have said that does not seem to be a reasonable goal anymore, given how susceptible to changing variants the vaccines are when it comes to just preventing infection, and how quickly infection wanes, and that we need to shift our goal to be about preventing severe disease. And if we do shift that goal, and there's a meeting on April 6th of the VRBPAC committee to discuss this, then the strategy or the approval, the authorization may be quite different. And it may be that a fourth dose is indicated, but for a very specific subsegment of the population.
So does that mean, Dr. Bruno Murtha, that regardless, and not completely, I understand that we're talking about multiple vaccines, a big window of time now that's more than a year, I get the complexities, but that in general, if you've been vaccinated and boosted, you are still relatively well protected from hospitalization and death, even as those protections wane in terms of keeping you from getting infected?
Yes, absolutely. The vaccines, if you've been boosted, the vaccines remain extremely effective at preventing hospitalization and death. Absolutely. And everybody, I can't encourage you more. If anyone has yet to be vaccinated, please get vaccinated, because it is very effective at keeping you out of the hospital.
So let's stay with that for a minute, because this was another question. Nearly 97%, just over 96% of Massachusetts residents have at least one shot. Right now, that could be your first dose. If you're J&J, that could be fully vaccinated. But only 40% of the population is boosted, Dr. Bruno Murtha. So do we draw any comfort from our high level of compliance with a first shot, given how low we are on the booster level? Is that still good news in any way, or should we just be tracking that booster shot now?
Yeah, I don't take much comfort in 96% having received only one shot. That is insufficient. We really should, our goal should be to get everyone vaccinated and boosted.
So Dr. Duron, I'm going to completely shift gears now. Dr. Ashish Jha, Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health, he's been a frequent friend here on Radio Boston, local resident, tapped by the White House to be the nation's new COVID coordinator. Do you know him? What's your reaction to that appointment? Have you spoken with him?
I've met him once. It's an interesting choice to use a physician in that type of role, which, you know, the last two people in that role, you know, certainly have not come from a medical background. And it reflects a different kind of approach to this next phase of the pandemic, which I think, you know, in large part is a shift from policy and rules and mandates to preparation. And much of that preparation does fall in the hands of the healthcare system. And so in many ways, there's a logic to this choice.
And Dr. Bruno Murtha, turning back to you, we often ask this, and I am so curious because we are in a moment of flux. In just a sentence or two, what are you watching for now?
I am watching the wastewater data, and I am watching what's occurring in Europe as barometers as to what might occur over the course of the next few weeks to months.
And when you say what's occurring in Europe, you mean the spread of the BA2 variant?
Yes.
All right. That is Dr. Luann Bruno Murtha, Chief of Infectious Diseases at Cambridge Health Alliance, which has locations in Cambridge, Somerville, Everett, and Dr. Shira Duron, an attending physician and hospital epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center. Thanks to both of you for joining us for Ask the Doctors today.
Thank you.
Great being with you again.